The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
On 92.7 and 106 FM.
The Money Show brought to you by APSA Corporate and Investment Banking, the bravery to imagine and the will to get things done. That's Africanacity. APSA is a registered FSP. Welcome to The Money Show this evening. Later on, 7:30, big announcement. Rudy Tlhabi is gracing us with her presence. I'm looking forward to catching up with her. It's been a while. She is our Other People's Money guest at 7:30. She's got a new TV show. She's very busy, you know. We'll catch up with her and just find out how life is going. And we'll talk about her personal proclivity, of which I am familiar, well, at least with some of them. I know she has some taste in luxury things. She lives the good life. She's, you know, is a woman of independent means. She's entitled to do as she pleases with her money. I wonder whether she invests. I wonder. We're going to find out this evening on The Money Show. We're also tonight going to talk to Ferial Hafiji, Associate Editor at Daily Maverick. She'll join us in just a moment. We're also going to be picking up this evening on the results out of Sterkinecor, out of Virgin Active and other companies. As Ethos Capital, which is a private equity business listed on the JSE, reports results today. And it's a mixed bag of performances. COVID-19 has, of course, wrought havoc with some investments and on the JSE, and so we'll pick up this evening on that, as well as tonight catching up with Anthony Morris. Now, Anthony has been an investor in a company listed on the London Stock Exchange, which has run into, it's a South African business listed in London, it's run into huge trouble with the UK Financial Conduct Authority. Big story brewing around that one, as well as Toby Shapshak this evening, and we're going to also catch up with Polly van Wyk. Polly van Wyk is going to be our guest this evening, reviewing tonight's business book, and it's by two futurists, individuals who have done rather well for themselves in writing books about the future, and that is going to come up this evening here on The Money Show. So there's lots to do, to focus on this evening. Looking forward to you staying in our company tonight. But first, Ferial Hafiji joins us, and over the weekend we've seen political parties hit the ground running in some cases in what will be a mercifully short but very, very noisy campaign in an effort for political parties to run the country's municipalities, many of which have been run into the ground and are wholly dysfunctional. I wonder, Ferial Hafiji, who is Associate Editor at Daily Maverick, whether we are seeing anything fundamentally new, or does it mean just more of the same empty, hollow promises that South Africans have become used to?
Good evening, Bruce. Perhaps because I've been studying Johannesburg and therefore local government so closely, I must say my initial look at the manifesto suggests that people are not dealing with the essentials that concern us, the voters or the citizens of our country. So you're seeing a lot of national issues from the ANC, a lot of "we really messed up, we're sorry, but we're going to do better," from Julius Malema, wealth tax. But actually I think people are worried about water. They're worried about electricity, the cost, the supply, the access to it. And they're worried about sewage getting into the water system. So very basic nuts and bolts. And that's the kind of thing Tsakani Maluleke tells us about, or told us about, when she issued her municipal audits last year.
I mean, it's all the stuff that we're living, and local government is the place, yes, where we truly feel the impact of government. And so we've got political parties and the figureheads of political parties. There are 500 registered political parties in South Africa, all making sort of trying to make national political capital, trying to get us to vote for the brand of the political party, yes, rather than fundamentally tackling local issues. I wonder if at local level, local issues are more of a talking point, or are we just so fed up with the underperformance of local government across most municipalities of South Africa that we simply don't believe the manifestos and the promises?
Well, about 14 million people, I calculated last week, I may be out by a little bit once to get the final figures in, haven't even registered. So that does tell you that people are really tired of the promises, or simply don't believe it, or trust levels are very low because of the experiences. But there's another very interesting thing happening across the country. People are just going it alone, you know. So I've covered the story of a group of people in Windsor who just have established a marvelous co-op, and they clean their own area. And now they've been contracted by Pick It Up to do that all across the city. We've seen in the northwest a number of municipalities taken to court by businesses or civil rights organizations, and they've just taken over running wastewater treatment or water or electricity. So I think that's a developing trend as well. In 2016, the local government poll was very much a plebiscite on how we felt about the former president, Jacob Zuma, and that's where the ANC really lost key cities. But I think all indicators are telling us this time around that people are seeing this collapse all around us, but I don't see that matched in the manifestos.
And I wonder whether or not it'll be reflected at on election day, whether or not people simply take it as a day off and not bother going to the polls. Because I think in local government elections, we see traditionally a lower turnout than we do at national elections for whatever reason.
Definitely. So at local government in 2016, it went high because people, I think, were really tired of state capture and looting by then. So they came out to vote for that, went up to 57% turnout of the registered base. But before that, you're sitting at 48%, 46%. And given that we've got the sort of 14.5 million people who can register but who haven't, I think it's giving us an indicator of how Monday, November the 1st is going to look. Also, you had a very truncated campaign. You didn't have another registration weekend. So an unusual election in many ways.
How important is this election for Cyril Ramaphosa? Certainly that 2016 local government election was the election that put the nail in Jacob Zuma's political career, because he was then seen as being incredibly destructive to the ANC's electoral chances at the 2019 national elections. I wonder whether or not Cyril Ramaphosa faces potentially the same sort of fate should the ANC underperform in this poll.
No, I've been wondering that same thing. I watched Cyril Ramaphosa when the 29 national election came out, and the ANC skirted in with 57%. That's very low by their own enormous margin of victory in previous election. And he looked extremely disturbed and disappointed by that outcome. My view is that I'm not even sure that the ANC is going to get there this time around. And because he faces such headwinds in his own party, that could go two ways. People could say, you see, you've lost it for us. Or he could say, well, you see, this is the outcome of corruption and we really have to accelerate renewal within the party. I think that's going to be our political story of the next couple of months, at least.
I suppose something we can all be grateful for is it's a really short political campaign. We've got a month. We've got a month of noise, and then we go to vote. And I think that's fairly merciful, isn't it?
I think for the country's babies who are being kissed, and for us citizens who are finally feeling a little bit listened to, that is a good thing.
Fair enough, Ajit. Thank you. She is associate editor at Daily Maverick.